Bonjour, bonjour, welcome to the SBS Cycling Podcast. I'm Christophe Mallet and I am back on this podcast. Maka did an amazing job last week while I was away in the Dakar, but I am back here and I am with the fantastic Grace Brown. How are you, Grace?
I'm good, Christophe. I must say that Maka didn't quite get your intro as dialed. You know, the French accent just wasn't...
Yeah. I'd like to think that I am sometimes more than an accent, but then I get this sort of reminder that maybe I'm not more than an accent. Maybe I am an accent to start with. but he did a very good job. I would say he did a very good job at hosting. He hasn't done much podcast hosting, so he did very well. He's our very own Swiss Army knife, Maka. Women's TD, you've been following the race very clearly, very closely. And we have a winner that is the winner from last year, Naomi Rugg. What do you make of the race this year?
Yeah, overall, I think even though we have the same winner as last year, it was very exciting and we didn't, you know, I thought on the final stage that she might come through, but it definitely wasn't written in stone that she would win. Of course, the first two stages were won by Ali Wollaston, first in Wollunga and then in Parracombe.
She's not the revelation because we knew how good she can be, and especially here in TDU as well, how good she can do on these roads. But were you surprised by how good she was and how dominant she was in the first couple of stages?
Not really. I think she was definitely the most accomplished sprinter on the start list, and definitely the style of sprint stages that were here in Adelaide suited her. They were a bit harder uphill drag style sprints, which really suit the likes of Ali Wollaston. It wasn't a surprise. Definitely that stage two sprint in Parracombe was harder one for her because the whole course for that day was really hard. They were climbing up and down, for the whole stage. I think the profile was over, it was about 2,400 metres climbing. Yeah.
She won it just ahead of Naomi Rugg as well.
Yeah.
That stage.
Yeah, exactly. And that was like without any significant hill climbs. It was just really up and down. And she was looking terrible about 10 kilometres out from the finish, like she was ready to drop, but managed to switch into race-winning mode and really come through with the goods. But it was close with Naomi Rugg on the line there.
Mm-hmm. Naomi Rugg, like I said, she won it last year as well. Was she a favorite coming into this year's edition? She's from EF, the team EF. Was she a contender from the word go? She was on your shortlist?
Yeah, definitely. She was someone that we were talking about from the start as a contender to win overall. I think the Tour Down Under is a race where you have to be an all-rounder, so you have to be able to sprint and take bonus seconds, but you also have to be able to climb. So she's sort of slots into that profile of rider really nicely. A few others that we were talking about a lot were Dominika Vladicek, and so she's a Polish rider for UAE ADQ, and also
she finishes fourth.
Yeah, she was also fourth in the Tour de France Femme, fourth in the Tour Down Under last year. So I think she's ready to jump up a few places. But that combination of climb and sprint, I think we were hoping maybe some of the stronger Australian climbers would show their strength, like Neve Bradbury, but in the end it's a bit too punchy for the likes of Bradbury, unfortunately.
And too punchy, and also probably would it be fair to say it's too early in the season for her to be ready at that particular point?
Yeah, I think she worked pretty hard over the Australian summer, her like pre-season training. But, you know, she came off a really tough year last year. We saw her at the Tour de France Femme not having the best time.
Yeah.
And I think she really needed the summer in Australia to reset, take a proper break, and then, yeah, maybe she didn't come into the season suit as hot as she yeah. could. And definitely, you know, we want her to be targeting those big tours later in the season. So if she was really at her best now.
Yeah, and if we pedal back with her, do you think last year she had a more complex season? Because the year before she had an amazing season, and maybe that transition between this amazing season and that last year was more complex for her to understand the body and understand how to be ready at the right points. And maybe she, like, is that what you mean by she needed to reset and restart?
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, she had a breakout season in 2024, and really, you know, we got really excited about yeah. what she could do on the climbs. And I think sometimes that comes with pressure and an expectation going into the following season. Mm-hmm. And often it just doesn't happen the same way. It's like you got all this success without knowing what the formula for the success was. And then you try and do it again and it doesn't work. And mm-hmm. it becomes really frustrating. So, yeah, I think she needed to sort of draw a line under last year's season and start fresh and probably reflect back on what were the things that were working in the first place and how can we go back to that environment where, yeah, Neve Bradbury's at her best. So
that's probably where the importance of having a great team behind you is as well. You've got a team that is allowing you to set and reset as well.
Yeah, I think the team needs to, you know, give space, allow time to maybe not be great for a little while in order to, you know, come back stronger. But it's not many teams really support that, maybe for top riders, but you see a lot of teams that just are happy to keep pushing riders to be sort of good but not at their best without allowing the freedom and space and time to really, like, go back to fundamentals and do it properly.
Yeah, especially on the beginning of the career. Quick, before we talk about the Australians, Mavi Garcia, second in the finish. New team for her, UAE. She moved from our Australian shores to the UAE shores. Are you surprised by this performance or not? Because she had a stellar year last year.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by the performance. I think, we know that she's an amazing climber. UAE ADQ really stuffed up their tactics on the final stage. They had the overall strength in the peloton. They came with the best squad, I think, to the Tour Down Under. And then they finished with three, you know, second, third, fourth on the results sheet, which is, I think, a tough pill to swallow for
yeah,
a team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like UAE ADQ. Of course, Mavi's new on the team and they're still trying to work out the dynamic, but I think they made some mistakes in the final stage. But Mavi would have been a hard one to win overall because she's basically a climber. Unless she went solo, I couldn't see a scenario where Mavi Garcia was winning the Tour Down Under.
She's so 11 second short.
Is a good result, but I think fourth for Dominika Vladacek was definitely not what they came there for.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, before we talk about Amanda Spratt, just a quick chit-chat I want to have about Team SD Works and Femke Gerritser. So I don't know if I say it right, but Femke, I should say. She came in with a big ambition. They came in with the willingness to do very well. They did okay in the first stage, finished third. What happened there? Are you surprised that that the team, ASD Works, are not more at the forefront in that stage? First time ever in Australia for them.
I'm not surprised. I don't think they sent their best squad to Australia. They've been reluctant to come and race the Australian races for a long time.
They said just before coming that this year we're taking it seriously. This year it's all about Femke being the leader, and we're going to test her in a leadership position. And they were committing. And I mean, I guess PR is PR and chit chat is chit chat. But that was the speech before coming to this race.
Yeah, that's the line that they're going to say, I think, regardless of what the truth is. And they did support Femke Gerritsen, is how you...
You say it so much better than me. I'll say I've got a cold. This is why I'm not saying it right, but that's okay.
Yeah, the G ends up sounding more like an H in Dutch.
Okay.
But anyway, it's a difficult name to pronounce.
Yeah.
But I think they did well supporting her, and that was for the sprints. And maybe for Cadel Evans' Great Ocean Road Race, that'll be an opportunity for her as well. But, yeah, I can't see. Marta Locke did really well in the general classification battle, but the corkscrew was too hard for her. I think, I'm not surprised with the team that they sent, how they ended up. But, you know, it is surprising because they've always been such a powerhouse team, and we see them winning everything in Europe. But
they really didn't haven't concentrated ever on the Australian, at least on the TDU, that's for sure.
No, and so this is the first year that the UCI have mandated all women's World Tour teams to do all World Tour races. So that's why we're seeing some teams in Australia for the first time for the women's races, and SD Works is one of them that hasn't wanted to come out, and they're a little bit unhappy about being forced to do some races on the calendar. But, I think if they really wanted to win the Tour Down Under, they would have sent a star.
Yeah, okay. we take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll carry on talking about the Women's Tour Down Under 2026 straight after this. Welcome back to the SBS Cycling Podcast. I'm still with Grace Brown talking about the TDU, Women's TDU, that just finished earlier on this week, won by Naomi Ruger. Let's talk about the Australians. Best on classification is our very own Amanda Spratt. Spratty, we know, she announced her retirement at the end of the season with us in a precedent episode of this very own podcast. She was eager to do very well. She can be... happy, do you think, with the way the TDU finished? She's the first Australian. She's also number one in her team. Okay, she's 29 seconds short of winning the race. But I could say she's only 29 seconds short of winning the race.
Yeah, I think Spratty can be really proud of the performance that she put in. Of course, you know, she's won the Tour Down Under three times, but the level of this race has increased year on year. And we've now just had our third international winner. Years gone by, it was always Australian riders that were winning the Tour Down Under. But that just goes to show that the level of the peloton coming to Australia is getting higher and higher. Not that Australians are getting worse and worse, but Spratty, I think, you know, she said that she wanted this final year to be a good one and, you know, to go out in a way that she'll be proud of. And, yeah, I think we saw near best Spratty that we've seen in a couple of years. So it's really exciting to watch that. She was super strong and she raced smart, and it was also, I think, really nice to see her Lidl track teammates supporting her to go after that.
Yeah, she can be standing very proud, of course, of this performance, and there's still more to come, a lot more to come from Spratty, absolutely. In terms of the Australians, anybody else that caught your eye in this edition of the TDU?
It was a hard one for the Australians, but there was on the ARA Australian national team the young 18-year-old rider Tully Schwetzer. So the ARA national team came with 4 18-year-olds and 2 slightly more senior riders in Sophie Edwards and Alyssa Pelides. But Tully was the only 18-year-old to finish the race. And it was just impressive for a rider of that age who's basically only had junior racing experience up until now to step up into the world tour on these really tough stages and survive.
She's also top 10 in a young riders classification. She finished 7th.
Yeah, which is amazing, because there were some really, really good young riders in there, and she's bottom age young rider that goes up to 23. So super impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. What about our very own Australian champion, Mackenzie Copeland? She comes in a TDU with she had a nice jersey on her shoulders. How did she perform? She finished 4th for the young classification riders, but she's nearly 4 minutes of the general classification winners. What did you make of a race, and how did she behave with the national jersey?
I was really impressed with Mackenzie. I think she did the national jersey proud. We always saw it up the front of the bunch. She was working for her teammates, so the fact that she still finished, you know, in a good position in terms of the young rider classification is great, because she wasn't there for herself. She was supporting Ruby Rosemann-Gannon, I think, in the end, was the rider that Liv Alula-Jaco were trying to support. They had a lot of misfortune losing Georgia Baker and Amber Pate even before the race, so they were down on numbers, unfortunately, but I think Mackenzie was definitely a standout there. You know, first race really in the World Tour, and she was stepped up and riding in great position. She's strong enough to be there. And, yeah, I'm really looking forward to continue watching her in the season ahead.
And it's never easy, I guess. I mean, I've never worn a national champion jersey, but it's probably never easy to start your first few races with that jersey. It's very different. You know, you're in your head, you can think you're marked. Technically, you probably are marked because you are different. You're more visible. How is this, your first few races, the number one, number two races with that jersey? Do you need time to sort of get used to it and the behavior of the riders around you? Or is it just business as usual?
I think it definitely comes with a more of a degree of, you know, respect in the peloton, and Mackenzie would have been pretty much unknown to the World Tour peloton before this year. And because she's the Australian champion now, you know, competitors on other teams have taken note. They probably know her name. They see her in the bunch. You stand out in that bright green and gold jersey, and she's wearing white Knicks as well, so very easy spot. So I think, yeah, she'd definitely be getting a lot more respect than she would otherwise coming in as a new rider in the World Tour. Generally, you get pushed around a little bit when you're a rookie, but I think having that jersey on her shoulders would give her a higher status. But it also comes with pressure, I think, and you see the national champion deal with that differently each year. There's been some riders that have won Road Nats and found it really hard to, you know, succeed in the season, because they're crippled in a way by the pressure of representing the country. But, you know, we saw last year young Lucy Stewart, she didn't let it, you know, get ahead of herself in terms of her development, and She rode well in the jersey, but I don't think she put really, really high expectations on herself to be winning in one of her first years in the European peloton. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that Mackenzie will be the same. She understands that she's still young and has a lot to learn and will ride to her best, but probably isn't expecting to be winning races in Europe.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, well, it was a great debrief with you, Grace, on this race. It's always a pleasure to talk about the TDU women, because it's really lifted up in the last few years, that race, and the interest now is turning towards Geelong, of course, and the Cadel Evans road race that is happening, the Mapei Cadel Evans road race that is happening next weekend. So not this weekend, but weekend after. Are you looking forward to this one?
Yeah, we also have the Surf Coast Classic during the week, so there's a lot more racing to come. The men's Tour Down Under is still in full swing and only just got started over the last couple of days, so we'll find out by the end of the week who the winner is there. And then, yeah, definitely not finished with the Australian racing, so off to the Bellarine Peninsula down Geelong, Great Ocean Road, to see how the riders perform in Victoria.
I thought you'd be excited to see me again.
Well, I don't know when that's going to be. Are you coming down to Geelong?
I'm coming to Geelong. I'll be on the hill at the Queen of the Mountain and King of the Mountain. So I'm sure I'll see you there.
Perfect. I'm looking forward to it.
So she says. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us, guys.
It's been terrible with you out of the country.
I know.
Australia's missed you.
I know. So I'm back. Calm down. I'm back. Thank you for joining us. And we'll have a full debrief of the men's TDU next week, of course, and what races that are up to come on SBS, of course.